Good afternoon, everyone. It's an honor to call our Winter Park City Commission in session on this day, February 23, 2015, a beautiful day in our city. I would ask you to silence your cell phones, as we have done on the dais, and invite you to stand as the Reverend Steve May of our First Baptist Church of Winter Park leads us an invocation, and then also remain standing as we pledge allegiance to the flag of our great country.
Father, we acknowledge that today is a gift from you, one that will never come again, and may we use it wisely. We just thank you for the privilege of living here in this beautiful area, and we're mindful of those who are battling the ravages of winter elsewhere in our country, and we ask that you would show them mercy. We thank you for our leaders here who tirelessly work to improve the quality of our life here in Central Florida. Father, we pray that you would protect us from the forces of evil that are rampant in our society. And we just pray that you would send a fresh movement of your spirit upon this land. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Reverend May. You could have probably led us in singing, too. God bless you, sir. He's a great man and represents a great organization in our community. And now, are we going to be 102 in April or 101? 102. The First Baptist Church is now 102 in April. So thank you so very, very much for starting our program off correctly. Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Wright, I'd look for any changes to the agenda as presented, if there are any.
No, sir.
Commissioners?
Moved as presented.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. The agenda is presented as, we'll continue as we presented it. I have several wonderful presentations, so if you don't mind, I'm going to go down. Now, when they came up with this award, they were not thinking about me, let me just say that. But it's indeed an honor to invite Leslie Ahonke up to the podium with me here to provide our city with a Healthy Weight Champions Award, Community Champions Award. Leslie is the Assistant Director of the Florida Department of Health, specifically in Orange County. And Leslie, by the way, do we have a new director yet? Has the director been selected? So, as you all know, the previous director left to go to California to help lead at the state there, and we're still in the process of finding that. So, Leslie, we're excited about this. Special recognition from the Florida Department of Health in regard to the community's efforts in relating to health and wellness.
Thank you, Mayor Bradley and the commissioners. It is indeed an honor to present this award, and it's the second one in 2 years. The Florida Department of Health in Orange County is pleased to recognize the City of Winter Park for the second year in a row as one of the communities recognized by the department as a Healthy Way Community Champion. Between August 2014 and November 2014, local governments were invited to submit best practice policies they implemented with the goal of promoting wellness, physical activity, and improving nutrition within their jurisdiction. These best practice policies are exemplified by the Healthy Way Community Champions. So we applaud the City of Winter Park for the following initiatives. The City Parks and Rec Department manages and maintains over 300 acres of designated parkland. The City of Winter Park also implemented a bicycle valet program. It's in place for all special events. Also, a pedestrian and bicycle circulation plan includes the installation of bike racks at all city parks and facilities, converting pedestrian signals to countdown and adding them in specified areas. Winter Park manages a Saturday farmers market that has been designated Central Florida's best for the last 12 years. The market, yes. The market celebrated its 35th anniversary in 2014 and has become one of the most beloved programs in the city. The community garden that's located in Mead Botanical Garden was developed as a teaching classroom garden to promote the establishment of neighborhood community gardens. Winter Parks and Rec Department has implemented the Whoa Slow Go Healthy Eating Program in all vending machines, including those in break rooms accessible only to staff. These are just a few of the examples of the healthy initiatives that Winter Park has implemented. And again, it is with indeed with pleasure that we're presenting this award to the City of Winter Park. And I want to ask our Department of Health employees that are here to stand up and in recognition of this award as well. We have Karen Johnson, that is our chronic disease manager, and Myrna Chamorro, who is our PIO, and Sherry Rufner is here taking pictures as well. So we present this award to you, Mayor Bradley.
Thank you so much. If you'd stay with me, I'd like to invite John and Troy and Don to join me up here. Michelle, why don't you join us, and we'll get a picture with the Commissioner, Mr. Knight, because this obviously is a team effort from many individuals,
yes.
And you can present it to them.
I think that, we don't appreciate the Department of Health nearly as much in good times. We certainly know what they do in difficult times, but our country now faces measles. Our country faces, last year Ebola was obviously a major topic of everyone's preparedness, and the Department of Health doing things like for chronic disease, which obviously probably will, healthy weight will probably hurt or help more people, frankly, probably than measles or Ebola combined in our country, is very, very important. So what you all do, we continue to appreciate, and thank you for the partnership. Thank you for this recognition. I'm going to invite Amy Gianetti up of our own staff, our Assistant Environmental Resources Manager for Lakes Management, to join me at the podium. As you all know, our lakes and waterways are truly our greatest assets, I think, here in Winter Park and across the state and county. We're recognized, obviously, for our lakes. The week of February 22 through 28, of which we're in right now, is a very, very important week in our nation, and especially as it relates to the management of our lakes nationally. So it's my privilege as mayor to declare February 22 through 28 of 2015 as the National Invasive Species Awareness Week. Whereas invasive aquatic, riparian, and terrestrial species influence the productivity, value, and management of a broad range of land and water resources in Florida, whereas the cost to prevent, monitor, and control invasive species combined with the cost to crop damage, fisheries, forests, and other resources cost our United States $137 billion annually. And whereas after habitat destruction, invasive species are the second greatest threat to biodiversity. Whereas those invasive species threaten the survival of native plants and animals and interfere with their ecosystem functions by changing processes like fire, nutrient flow, and flooding. And whereas today's invasive species impede industry, threaten agriculture, and endanger human health, and are becoming increasingly harder to control as a result of rapid global commercialization and human travel. Now, therefore, I, Councilor Bradley, by virtue of the authority vested in me as mayor of the great city of Winter Park and the great state of Florida, do hereby proclaim Sunday, February 22 through Saturday, February 28th, as 2015, as the National Invasive Species Awareness Week in the city of Winter Park, and encourage residents and citizens to participate in activities and events to promote knowledge and understanding of the threats posed by invasive species. Amy, thank you for what you and your whole team does to make our lakes so much better and to bring awareness to this very, very important thing. Is there anything you'd like to talk about?
No, I think, living in Florida without a winter, it's exceptionally important that we educate people about the threats to our habitat and certainly our resources, both from an environmental and an economic standpoint. So keeping that alive and in the public's eye, I think, is important.
That's very important. Amy's going to get a picture. Teresa's going to get a picture. Amy said, good. Thank you so much.
you know, our city is blessed because we have people that handle things that probably don't necessarily come to the top of our mind. But just like public health, if there was an invasive species that went throughout our lakes, we'd all be, it'd be top of mind. And because you manage that so well, we don't have to worry about it. So thank you very, very much for what you do for that. I was looking for Butch. Is Butch Margraf? Butch, you're here. Oh, why wouldn't I have you up on the other one? I thought you were here. Our city's winter park traffic manager, along with Jill here? Jill's not here, so it'll just be you and me then. The executive director of the Alamo of Healthy Central Florida. March is Bike Month in the state of Florida. And we just saw a presentation on what good biking is for healthy weight and other things. And we have some really, really neat special events planned in Winter Park to celebrate. And Butch will tell us about those, but before he does that, I'd like to provide a proclamation of a very special day, which occurs on March 11th, 2015, whereas for more than a century, the bicycle has been an important part of the lives of most Americans, and millions of Americans currently engage in bicycling because it is a viable and environmentally sound form of transportation, an excellent form of fitness, and provides quality family recreation. Whereas March is Bicycle Month in the state of Florida, and the education of both cyclists and motorists as to the proper and safe operation of bicycles, and I might add, as well as those of us who drive to make sure we watch out for, is important to ensure the safety and comfort of all users. Whereas Winter Park seeks to be the healthiest community in the nation and encourages its residents to bicycle often in its streets and trails for transportation. Whereas Winter Park seeks to be recognized as a bicycle-friendly community and participating in an annual Bike to Work Day is one more step the city is taking to encourage and promote bicycle riding. Whereas the City of Winter Park incorporates multimodal policies when investing in road improvements to enable safe access for all users, including bicycle lanes, bicycle routes, off-road trails, and bike parking. And whereas Wednesdays in Winter Park are also known as the Walk and Roll Wednesdays. Walk. Say that three times fast. Walk and Roll. Wednesdays at our area schools, and the city encourages and recognizes parents who ride to school with their children or encourage their children to ride to school with other neighborhood children. Now, therefore, I count to be bounded by virtue of the authority vested in me as mayor of the great city of Winter Park in the great state of Florida, do hereby proclaim Wednesday, March 11, 2015, as Bike to Work Day in the city of Winter Park, Florida. And as we say, Butch, for so much, bike with extraordinary care, right? So share with us some of the good things that are happening in March, specifically.
All right, well, first off, nationally, Bike to Work Month is usually May, but because of our nice weather and a little bit of the temperature, the heat, Florida's is actually celebrated in March. So for March, we have, as he said, Bike to Work Day, where it starts off with a walking, it's a Wednesday, and it's a walk and roll Wednesday, so parents are being encouraged to walk and roll with their children to school. And then in the afternoon, at 3:30, we hope to have, and this is an adult ride, or for older riders, you come down to Central Park, we're on the stage at 3:30, and we're going to leave on an organized ride, probably 45 minutes, up to the northeast through the city and back. And then as part of this, we have businesses along the avenue who are supporting this, and we are going to park our bikes and go shop and eat along the avenue. So that's on March 11th. Of course, the Winter Park Art Festival is coming up, and the bike ballet will be operated for the 3 days there. And that is our most successful bike ballet. We've parked over 250 bikes each of the last two events. So those are a couple of the things that are going on this month to celebrate.
Great. Thank you, Dutch, for the review. Let's get a picture with Teresa.
I would just like to mention, all of my board members we're lucky to have them as board members, but none of them could make it today. I was trying to encourage them to be here, Jill. They had prior commitments, but I appreciate them, and they do us all good.
Thank you. I'll conclude my... Great reports there. We have a couple other ministerial functions to perform here under my section. Forgive me for finding my place here. The first is the appointment of the members to the Visioning Steering Committee. At our last meeting, we had discussed each of us appointing up to two individuals to that from Winter Park residents. So I'm happy to go by seating order or however you want to do that to make sure that we do that at this time.
Mayor, can I ask a question?
Yes.
I ran into a little difficulty that I could not tell people what kind of a time commitment I was asking them for. So what I did was I got three people, and the agreement is once you can tell us the schedule, I can tell you which one. Is that fair enough? I just didn't know what else to do.
You know, I have one, and my second one had the same issue. Okay. So I'm only going to be able to present one tonight, but I suppose you could give our top two, and if there was a third at some other time, we'd probably have the opportunity to add somebody, because I would like the ability to do that.
Because that was the problem I ran into. I could only tell them we're going to meet often at the start, yeah, and then it will be once a month. But that's hard for people who work.
Yeah,
you know, looseness.
I would hazard a guess, and it certainly comes up to the number of meetings as well as the relationship with the consultant. These folks are the direct connect to the consultant, so the decisions that have to be made are decisions they're going to be making. I think probably at least twice a month, probably in the throes of this, will be a minimum of time. There may also be meetings outside of this if they're engaged in some of the community activities of going out and being part of the visioning process in the neighborhoods.
But we'll know once we get the consultant on board.
Correct. Right now, make I see a month, once a month until the consultant would be to start.
So your question is a really solid one, and I think one that members of this group will obviously want to know. And my anticipation is anytime you have 10 people that are asked to do this in a voluntary capacity, there'll probably need to be the need for replacements as time goes on, sadly, but things like that happen. So, Commissioner, I'm intending to hold one at this point. So, with that, Commissioner Lear?
Sure. I'd like to appoint Garrett Pricer, am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
I know Garrett from his first name for years. I just always forget his last name. And Steve Castino. And I will get you their addresses, sir. I have them in my office.
Is it Pricer?
Pricer.
P-R-E-I-S-E-R.
Thank you. Commissioner Sprinkle.
And I would just say that the very same thing came up when I talked to a few people about how much was the time commitment. I'd like to go ahead and nominate Jeffrey Blydenburg, and he's in the audience today. And then the second person I would nominate is Meg Baldwin. Meg's a teacher. She lives over in the Brookshire area. She's married to Rusty Baldwin. Rusty and Rick are cousins. They grew up in Winter Park. They're longtime folks here. So the only problem is I'm not sure time commitment-wise. So if, in fact, it doesn't work, I'd like to reserve that because I do have another person who's very interested.
And I would say that, as I said, these positions may come up that way, and I would think that we would need to be able to reserve that right. So you certainly have my support in that.
Okay, thanks.
Commissioner Cooper.
Yes, I'm appointing former Mayor David Strong and Steve Goldman.
Commissioner Mackin.
I have two, Michael Dick and Dykes Everett.
And this time I'd be appointing John Carone to the group. So I don't know that we need a formal vote on that. I guess, do we, Mr. Knight or Mr. Reichman? Advise me. Should we take a formal vote to adopt this as presented? I kind of think the way we did the appointments, it wouldn't require
any further discussion. Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, I think we'll just let it stand as is. Is that okay?
Sure.
So
we do have that in case somebody has a second person,
of course,
or has to fill a spot.
Yeah, and that could very well happen.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Thanks, sir.
You're welcome. There was an item placed on the agenda because as I conclude my mayoral term, Winter Park has a position on the Orlando Municipal Advisory Committee of Metroplan. It's actually Metroplan Orlando Municipal Advisory Committee. Let me just say that position has traditionally been held by the mayor of the city. And if I look at the majority of the positions that serve on this, while there are other commissioners and others, it is normally the mayor that serves. So it would be my expectation that whoever's elected mayor would fill that position. So at this point, it's not necessarily an appointment per se,
but would just be an expectation of whoever does that, and if by and some chance that individual, you know, chooses not to serve or can't serve, I'm assuming that now that it is a potential, at least by the summertime, a voting member of MetroPlan, not the position, but not our position, but the chairman of that they would seek an elected official to serve with them or co-serve with them. So I don't have any formal appointments at that point, but I just would ask that the new mayor does that.
I would absolutely support that name.
Yeah.
And I would just like to say...
And it's kind of, I guess we have some say over it, but it's really kind of by virtue of the position, it goes with that. Yes, ma'am?
I agree. I just am very delighted that you were able to work your magic and get us back in there, because that was really something, and I can tell you that is terrific that we're able to be represented there now.
The long term is going to make a real difference in our region. Thank you.
Well done.
The last is, as you know, we do have pension boards, and for our police and our fire, and our police and our fire have the opportunity to appoint an individual to that board. And the police group have appointed Officer Sam Easterbrook to replace, at least no longer serving on the board, Officer Rafael Berrios. I would move the appointment of Officer Easterbrook to the police pension board. Our point is really perfunctory at this point. So, any discussion? Any floor conversation? Open the floor, seeing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. That concludes my capacity and my duties in this case. Mr. City Manager, Mr. Knight.
Mr. Mayor, I have no report today.
Question to the City Manager.
I have a question about quiet zones. So that's number one on there. We know that the funding agreement is expected. Do we have a time frame that tells us when this is going to actually happen?
Not at this point.
We don't even want to venture a guess. We don't want to put some signs up at the art festival that say quiet zones coming. We don't want anything like that. It's been such a long-awaited issue. I'd sure like to have people understand that it has happened.
We're our fourth trimester here.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is as good as gold.
Let me just say this, that the agreements have to be signed by the end of June, so they're drafting all the agreements for all the qualified participants, and we will execute those agreements before the end of June. So.
And then how long does it take to do it?
There's a design process. Everybody has a conceptual design for what they need to do for the gates.
We already had that.
It's a conceptual design. It needs to be final design and go to construction. So it might be a design build contract. It might be the DOT that handles the whole thing. We haven't had the discussions until we get the agreement in hand. We want to understand what all the processes will be for that. But it will be executed by the end of June, and we'll have agreements in place. I'm hoping to see it this week or next, but I thought I was going to get it last week, too.
Thank you.
Other questions of the city manager?
Randy, are you close, or can you talk about the undergrounding of Fairbanks?
Jerry's had a couple of meetings in the past couple of weeks with DOT and with Duke Energy, and so he can give you an update on the documents flying back and forth.
There are actually 1, 2, 3, 4 agreements that are under negotiation. One between Duke and the Florida Department of Transportation, one between Winter Park and the Florida Department of Transportation, one between Winter Park and Duke, in which we would construct their underground distribution facilities for them. They have decided that a fourth agreement between, among all three parties, DOT, Winter Park, and Duke is appropriate. It's my understanding that agreement was drafted last week. It was distributed to Duke for Duke's attorneys to review. I don't know how long that'll take. They're not fast about that sort of thing. But as soon as they review it, they'll get it to us, and we'll review it very quickly. And I'm really hopeful, that's the right word, I guess, hopeful that I can bring you all those agreements at the end of March.
Great. Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
I have one more question before Jerry leaves. I've heard from people out in the community that we're behind on undergrounding, which was news to me. I thought we were doing great with undergrounding. So can you give me an update on where we are with our 5 miles a year and where we're going?
We're pretty much on track.
Okay.
Within the context of this current fiscal year, we're where we want to be, and so we're fine.
All I thought that, but I wanted to hear it out of your mouth.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Great. Other commentary? Questions? We'll move to the city attorney's report. Mr. Reichman?
Just one item, just information. As I'm sure you're aware, we have a code enforcement board, and every once in a while, it gets to the point where people don't do what they're supposed to do, and so the code board creates a lien. And under the procedure, code board occasionally wants to go ahead and get the city's money back. And in this particular case, there's a piece of property here in town, 788 West Newland Avenue, that there's money owed on that property for some work that the city has done, and the lien has been placed on the title of that property to protect those assets. So it's code enforcement board directed your city attorney's office to initiate foreclosure process.
So
just to make sure you're aware of that.
So this is for informational purposes?
That is correct.
And according to our policies, I'm assuming.
Mayor, I think I do have a question.
Commissioner Cooper.
Yes.
And it's not something you're going to be able to answer on the spot, but we had an agreement with the Windsong developer that the city would receive $150,000 for the last sale in Windsong, and I haven't heard anything about that in a long time, and would love for you to take a look at it.
We will get you an answer. That's all I have, Mr. Mayor.
Questions of the city attorney?
No, sir.
There are no non-action items. We'll take citizen comments near the 5 o'clock hour or the end of the meeting, whichever comes first. And now we're going to go to the consent agenda. We'll have a commission on the consent agenda.
I move for approval.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Commission discussion? Hearing none, I'll open the floor for public comment about this consent agenda. Seeing none, I'll close the floor for public comment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Item 10A. Now, I don't know, Mr. Ryan, are you going to reference this or Mr. Holland? I don't know who's going to speak to this.
Okay. Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. We are here again this year requesting approval for the Concours d'Elegance to take place on the golf course. Last year, you approved that. The event was very, very successful. There was some concern on some items that we have done our very best, and Mr. Weber has been over backwards to try and accommodate to cure any of the problems that we had. So Mr. Weber is here requesting approval of the event for, I believe, 5 years, and if that is your purview, I will turn it over to Mr. Weber for a quick presentation.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Weber.
I want to thank everyone, commissioners and the mayor, for allowing us our first year on the golf course last year. My whole goal was to create a jewel for Winter Park, to create something very special. Moving the cars off the street, we did accomplish that. The quality of the cars was very, it was a great move to where we want to be, and that is to be recognized as one of the best concours in America. We created a clean, crisp event. We're not looking to create a circus. We really focus on the art of the automobile design, almost like another art festival, but it's all about cars. The support, the amount of people that have come to me as I visit other concourses since we moved it to the grass has been unbelievable. People at the Breakers, where I was at the Cavallino car show, which is a Ferrari show, congratulated me because we're really able to showcase these cars on the grass. As Mr. Holland mentioned, there were some items that we really need to look at. First most is the fencing. Last year, the fencing, there was a lot of pushback that the fencing was very construction-like. What we've done, and I'm waiting for the picture to come up, is there's a couple options. Number one would be for the mesh to be on the outside versus on the inside. We do have a couple of color options, one being green or one being tan. Black kind of gave it a look of being much too much like a construction site. The second thing that was brought up to us was parking. One of the things I could tell you is that we are going to get it off Park Avenue. My request is to move the show from Park Avenue to the golf course 100%, to utilize hole number 3 as a parking area. We are in close contact with the Parks Board if that would be possible. They have agreed it can be. We would also have three. Yes, sir.
But 3 is the par 5 that goes down.
It parallels New York.
Okay.
It goes up to a Stove.
So it runs across the Baptist Church and the cemetery.
Yes, sir. And then Keys is on one side. Keys is on one side, and New York is on the other. At the end is Stove.
I just want to make sure I understand that before you get forward from there. Are you talking about people who are visiting the car show parking
yes.
on the golf course?
Yes. And the thing that we would do there is, one of the things that we have done for years in working to be a good steward of, first of all, the park, Central Park, and the golf courses, we actually have professional stewards that would bring the cars in, almost like if you were at Disney. You know, it's not a free-for-all where you park. You know, they bring them in very carefully. We had no damage last year. So our stewards would ensure that they would park correctly on the way in and as well as the way out. The next thing that we would institute is to have off-site parking. We have 3 different locations that we're looking at. And we would run shuttle buses to shuttle them in to the event. The actual event, I worked closely with the police department, is the actual event we would close off from Sioux North up to Webster to create a no driving zone. The shuttles would drop them off on Sloop, then walk to the event. There would actually be two different entrances to the event. One, the same event, same location we had this year, which was on the corner of Whipple and Park Avenue. And the second one would be on the corner of New York and Webster. The third item that came to our that was brought up is Casa Feliz. We had tried to rent it last year because obviously being next door neighbor to that beautiful location. This year we do have it rented for Sunday. There is a wedding on Saturday. What I have, what we would be able to do to be a good neighbor is to put up our fence, our 6-foot fence, Saturday night after this wedding. Hopefully we're approved in 2016. We rent the whole property Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Again, trying to be a good neighbor. And really, the whole thing we're trying to do is to further the car show and to be able to attract the best cars in the United States to come to Winter Park as we create this jewel for the city. Questions?
So the request before us is to do what? I'm a little confused on to what the request is, John. If you could clarify what went to the Parks Board and then what's coming this today.
The to use the golf course again for Concourse d'Elegance. Last year, this commission made it a stipulation that it would be a one-time thing and come back for approval after we saw the results of the event, and that's why we're here. In order that does not have to come back to the board every year, we are requesting a 5-year approval for the event.
Questions of the organizer or of Mr. Holland?
I have
Commissioner?
Mayor. John, are there
shall I say, inflationary items built into a five-year contract. I mean, we're currently receiving X amount of dollars for use of the property, and over 5 years, I would assume that that property would become more valuable. Are we looking at, because we look at fees for other events on a yearly basis.
Yes, we do not have a contract for 5 years set up yet. That would be something that we would negotiate with Tim and the success that he has. Most likely we would do a one-year agreement with him as for the next year. Now, he needs the 5 years to obtain his car values and get the cars from Europe and all over the world to come to the event. So, we would work out a one-year.
And I have no problem with the longer-term thing as long as the city is, I want to say, protected as we go forward and able to recoup any investment that we have in that. The other one is, and being involved with the Arts Festival, I mean, conditions change every year. We sit down and say, okay, we did this last year. What do we have to do next year to make it either better or to solve something? I would assume that contract would carry language that will allow us to review the operation from the previous year and say it either met our standards or needed to be improved. This is the first year, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. We're going to make improvements, which will help it, but I think every year we ought to have the opportunity to at least say, yes, you're conditionally approved, and we just need to look at how it operated last year to make sure that any deficiencies are corrected.
And that's fine. We've been very happy with his response to the concerns that we've had. The Morse Museum had a concern about the traffic and hold up out in the street. That's been totally eliminated. The church, there's nothing on Park Avenue anymore.
All I'm looking for is an assurance as we enter into a five-year contract that we would have the opportunity on a yearly basis to look at fees, look at the condition of how it operated the year before, and make corrections as necessary. And I would want that, I think, built into any contract language that we would have. I am very much in favor of having, as we addressed the fence, of having the mesh on the outside. It did totally look like it was a construction site last year, and putting the mesh on the outside, and you guys figure out whether it's green or tan or whatever. But and parking on the golf course, I don't have a problem with that. When I go up to Ann Arbor for a football game, they park 10,000 vehicles on the U of M golf course. Now, the only thing is that if it rains, they don't. So I think that would be a condition of weather or whatever, because if it's wet, I don't want them on the golf course.
Right.
At least from a public parking standpoint. So I wouldn't that be considered as well. And other than that, I think the organization has done a very good job of addressing the comments that I was aware of from the previous one. That's all I have, Mr. Mayor.
Questions? Commissioner Sprinkle?
The only question I have is, we pass every year a fee schedule, and this is not part of our fee schedule, I understand, correct?
I think it is now.
It is now?
October 1, it was in the fee schedule book, I believe.
Okay, well, I just want to make sure so that we're not going back and changing it on the people.
It's my understanding it's in there. I think I've seen it.
Okay, all right, thanks.
So, Commissioner Cooper. You talked about the fees. You're talking about the fee for renting the golf course. Is that
correct?
Our fee schedule? Okay.
Correct.
So the entrance fee that people are being charged, is that fee going to be tied to the escalation in any compensation that you receive from the vendor?
We have had discussion with Mr. Weber about part of the gate, a percentage of the gate when it gets to a certain point. That's been part of some our fee structure that would be above and beyond the $30,000 that we get for the.
So that would be incorporated in the contract?
Correct.
Okay.
Would be or could be?
Most likely will be.
No. Yeah, it has to be. If there is an increase in the gate fee for the people of Venture Park to see the car show, there needs to be an increase in the yield that comes to the city. It would be foolish otherwise for us to enter into that sort of agreement, I think. But
the, sure, can I just interrupt for 1 second there?
Yeah.
Do we have that agreement with any other group that rents the golf course?
Nobody else rents the golf course.
Nobody does it for over a year. If it was a year contract, I'd be real comfortable. But if if we're going out, we're charging like $20, $25 now. A lot of places charge $250 a piece for these tickets and to get into these shows. So I guess...
Well, we aren't charging.
Well, we aren't charging anything.
This isn't our deal. I understand.
But we are being compensated for the use of the golf course. The one thing that I did have a question that wasn't addressed, the merchants on Park Avenue, if we are bringing something into the community, and I do understand it's an incredible event. I appreciate and understand that. But if we're bringing something into the community like that, and we do it for usually one of two reasons from the decisions that we've made up here, either it benefits the residents or it benefits the merchants on Park Avenue. And what I didn't hear was anything that's talking to how we might be able to be benefiting our merchants on Park Avenue. Can you help me with that? The thing that I'm hearing is if all of the catering takes place in the country club and at the Casa Feliz, then will people still be dining on the avenue? And that was the question that came to me.
Well, this was a great, and I don't see him here. Patrick's not here, but but at the when we went before the Parks Board, Patrick Chapin spoke. We bring in a lot of money to the merchants. The Merchants Association is behind the event.
So we've gotten that all taken care of, Patrick. We're comfortable.
If you're asking for, do we support it? Yes.
Thank you.
I'm not comfortable leaving this conversation, though, with Commissioner Cooper's idea that if the rates increase, that all of that has to change. That's not what I feel like we're doing here right now. We have a set fee, which is $30,000, which we're getting from these folks to do this. And so for us to tie the rates to that at this point seems to be preliminary to me. It doesn't seem like that makes sense.
So do we have the latitude within the agreement that you're creating?
Yes, we can.
That we have some kind of an escalator or some kind of a review?
I believe I asked for that in my comments, that over a five-year period. I mean, we review fees every year for everything.
Right.
And
twice.
And so if this is a fee,
Commissioner McBacken, I thought you were saying if our fees go up to rent the golf course, then his fee, then the cost to the...
Fees are generally based on covering what we need to cover.
No, I understand,
I'm not saying in the case that this would be a cut of the gate. I was saying on a go-forward basis...
And that's not supportive of what you're saying.
If our cost to cover this increase, we ought to be able to make sure we can recoup that in fees. Which is different, I think, than a cut of the gate.
Right.
So I'm very supportive of the one, and the other one is strictly up to negotiation.
And that's my question, is do we negotiate that annually, or would that be once every 5 years?
We negotiated last year, and we will be negotiating it again this year.
So even if you write a five-year contract, that contract will have the ability to negotiate the fee?
Well, as I mentioned a minute ago, we would probably go on a one-year contract.
Good. Okay. Thank you.
If for some reason through accident or error, a green was destroyed and this was $100,000 replaced, I'm assuming that we would be, looking for help in that. So I think that we need to consider the cost of the event, not just the cost to put on the event. The other consideration is obviously we have a golf course task force that's looking at ways to enhance the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were supportive of this actually as an idea. But, as that evolves over the next few years, there could be things that could vary holes or vary locations or things that we probably need to make sure we take into consideration. I'm going to move the...
Mayor, I have one last question.
You do, you'll get it. You'll get a chance after I make my motion. I'm going to move the creation of a series of one-year contracts able to be...
for a five-year term, similar to the way, Mr. Knight, we do the, like any of the other contracts we have, when we have the, like, architectural fees and others. Those are really one-year contracts, but with a five-year term. And that embedded in that is the ability for the city to adjust its rate for the use of the facilities each year. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Sprinkle. Commissioner Cooper?
Just a very quick question. I think the photograph I saw showed no more of the rent-to-fence signs on every section.
Correct.
Are we going to get rid of those?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. I heard a lot about that.
So did I.
Well, I would hope we could advertise City Winter Park Golf Course or something. I mean, that's really what you should
there's
put up on the sign.
There's something better than Winter Park.
Quiet zones are coming.
I say let's keep it simple and intelligent.
Thank you.
Just a question for Mr. Weber. Tim, we're not talking about charging for parking along that park that around the whole three.
We haven't even got that far. Yeah. We're not even at that procedure yet.
Okay.
And that is, yeah, that's a good point.
That's a concern.
So obviously, you know, if more of the facility is used, I'm assuming the fee is going to be adjusted, and that's something that I think we have to defer to staff as well as, you know, looking at the golf course operation, et cetera. I mean, if we're still under parking on nine holes, maybe the fee changes. I don't know. But that's something that I think John would have to look at.
And Tim, can you also speak to the speaker system and the noise? And there was some concern about that. Can you?
Well, I actually went into our audiovisual guy last night at Houston's, I still call Houston's Hillstones, and I mentioned to him, so we're going to address that as well.
Okay.
We did a sound check on Saturday, and next thing you know, I get sort of phone calls. We can eliminate that, as well as Sunday, we'll tighten it down.
Okay.
Move some speakers around. The whole thing was just to be able to, like all of the car shows, to talk about. We actually have one of the fun things that has happened is we actually started this last year was we have a historian, a guy that is well, he's known throughout, and he talks about the cars. I mean, it's more to look at it, but who knows a 1936 Duesenberg versus a 34 Auburn. So he's of that knowledge that he can share great things about the car and its history.
And that's all great. There's better sound technology, some directional sound technology that can be used to kind of lessen that ambient sound that comes out. So.
Yeah, it's funny. I ran into him last night.
Okay, thank you.
There's a motion and a second. Any further commission discussion? Open the floor for public comment. Citizens wishing to speak to us about this matter are welcome to. Tim, if you'd relinquish that position so people can speak to us, I would appreciate it.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Patrick Chapin. I'm the President and CEO of the Winter Park Chamber of Commerce. Before I comment on the in support of Tim's event, I did want to just comment on the additional fees for the gates. That would be, in my opinion, a tough precedent to set. We, the Chamber, holds some of the biggest events in the city, and that's just something that I think would be the producer of the event is incentivized to hold a quality event, which drives people to Winter Park and helps brand Winter Park. So you're running the facility, I think you'd be getting a little gray area in terms of trying to count the gate numbers and audit them and so forth. So that's my comment on that. I will say this is a great example of public input. There's been a lot of conversation about public input. This is what public input is, for those who don't know. Last year, Tim came up, had a thorough conversation, held the event, had great input from the residents. Tim's done a great job of listening to the concerns, including the merchants. He went to the Park Board, public input there. He's here tonight, more public input. So I give a lot of credit to the process. I also will say that through my conversations with Tim, which, you know, aren't always real smooth, I will say that we take into consideration not just the merchants, Commissioner Cooper, but and not just the event producer, but the residents and our guests. So we look at all four and make sure it's going to get input from everybody. And we're very excited. Out of 800 or 900 members of the Winter Park Chamber of Commerce, I represent also 100 Park Avenue Merchants Associations. They are in firm support of this. They appreciate the breadth of marketing and the branding of Winter Park. And another example of public input. I think, you know, I have the luxury of representing those 900 organizations, but not everyone can be here. These are the people that may speak against. So because you don't hear support, don't think there's not support. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Other citizens wishing to speak to us about this matter? Going once, twice. I'll conclude the public comment. Any further commission discussion?
No.
I'll ask the clerk to read the roll on the motion that's on the table.
Commissioner Leary?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Bradley?
Yes. Appointment of the canvassing board for March 10, 2015. We actually have three actions to take. I will need to have three different motions, but we're going to have a simultaneous public hearing to address it all at once. The first item is the, get to the right page here. The appointment of the canvassing board. Obviously, this can come from commissioners or others who may or may not be involved in the election. Our city clerk can serve in that capacity, as well as if, by some chance, all of our commissioners were involved in an election some way or another, we would look outside of that. So, I don't know, Cindy, did you want to speak to this, or Mr. Knight, if there's anything you wanted to add to our comments?
Well, we have to determine who, if any, commissioners are disqualified from being able to serve on the board, and then take it from there. I guess we first need to determine who can serve on it, and then from there, of course, I can be an alternate member as city clerk, and then I think I have been advised to appoint a citizen if we need be. And in that regard, we, city manager and I discussed that today, and we thought that Sean Schaefer of the library would be a very good person to fill in, and I contacted her. She's in agreement and would like to serve on the board if we need her. And so that's the first item probably we need to take care of first.
And I've already removed myself from it.
Yeah, and I'm removing myself.
And I'm not available.
So I would.
I'm volunteering.
Okay. So I would move our canvassing board to consist of Commissioner McMackin, City Clerk Cindy Bonham, and Library Director Sean Schaefer. Is there a second?
Second.
I'm going to open all these for public conference after the simultaneous public hearing after we get these three up. So I'm going to accept three motions at once. The second that we must do is to move the canvassing criteria set by the state and used by Orange County for canvassing absentee ballots. Those were attached in our records. I would move the acceptance of the canvassing criteria. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. And by the way, just to comment on that, having done the canvassing board last year, very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
That criteria, and for those citizens listening at home or watching, our state, since 2000, has greatly advanced the science of elections, and that is really one of the things that has mm-hmm. come out of the 2000 election and is a wonderful thing. Then the last motion is to allow Orange County Supervisor election to open and run all absentee ballots to the tabulator ahead of time that are not questionable and are valid. I would move that. Also, is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. And having served on the canvassing board at our last election, this is a truly wonderful thing. This speeds results, in addition to really helps the County Supervisor of Elections office. Having watched, I think, Apopka's last year, I'm not sure they started reading absentees till about 9 or 9:30, and we were done. So it is a very wise thing, and as well as and again, with the caveat that are not questionable and are valid. So that means if somebody sent in an application, also voted at 6:59, but those are adjusted accordingly.
And having had the privilege to serve on a canvassing board before, it just speaks to the integrity of the system. I mean, I have been impressed with this every time I've had the opportunity to be down there, and it is as flawless as it can possibly be.
I completely agree with the commissioner, and really value both, you know, Bill Cowles' office and all that they do, and certainly value our own clerk, Cindy Bonham, and all that she does. After we vote, I'll share comments about Cindy. So we have three motions on the table. Is there discussion from the City Commission?
Just to City Attorney Reichman, am I voting here? I'd like to just know. I want to get clear if I can vote on this or not.
You would.
I have to recuse myself.
That's a good question. Unless you believe that you have a conflict of interest specifically as to one of the appointees.
Cindy, Commissioner McMichael, and Sean. My wife sits on the board of the library.
That is not going to be a conflict of interest.
Okay.
The charter says that the city commission is to appoint. So there is an inherent contemplation that those folks that are running, unless they have a specific conflict with an identified person to be appointed.
Just bring it up. Just want to make sure.
Good.
Thank you. Okay, is there further commission discussion? I'll open the floor for public comment. Citizens that wish to speak to us about this matter in a simultaneous public hearing are welcome to. Seeing none, I'll close the floor for public comment. We'll be having three votes. The first one will be the appointment of Commissioner Mack and City Clerk Cindy Bonham and Library Director Sean Schaefer to the canvassing board. The clerk will read the record. The roll.
Commissioner Leary?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Bradley?
Yes. Now it's to accept the canvassing criteria set forth by the state and is in our packet. Clerk, read the roll.
Commissioner Leary?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Bradley?
Yes. And now also the third motion is to allow the Orange County Supervisor of Elections to open and run all absentee ballots ahead of the 7 p.m. closing of the times. Without knowing the results. Clerk will read the roll.
Commissioner Leary?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Bradley?
Yes. If I may have the floor for one more minute. Both at the elections supervisor office, those of us who have been on the canvassing board, we all know what a valuable community and citizen leader we have in Cindy Bonham. And to a person both at the elections group and everything, Cindy makes our elections work so well, and we appreciate all you do, Cindy, to bring integrity to our election process, as well as for the respect that you have of your fellow colleagues throughout Greater Central Florida. Thank you for that. We're going to go to item 11A, request of...
So this first public hearing is a conditional use request to amend the previous conditional use we had at 125 South Interlochen, which is now the Ye Olde Brick Condominium, for a project that first came to the city in 2006, was approved, and then we saw it in 2013. It was a little different design by Phil Keane, and now we are back today with a third permutation, but it appears that now third time will be the charm, and it is moving forward toward construction. The overhead shows the new look of the project. It's similar in most respects, but because there are some significant changes under the code definition, required it to come back through planning and zoning and city commission for your subsequent review and approval. They have kept the approvals alive. Back in 2006, what we dealt with primarily was that this was an R4 zone site, but being less than 20,000 square feet, you were supposed to follow the R3 rules. Yet it's surrounded by other R4 projects, the one to the south, Cloisters, Whispering Waters. And so what happened in 2006 was compromises were made. The density is R3 density, 6 units, that remains. We had compromised back then between the 5 stories of R4, the 3 stories of R3 with 4 stories, and also compromised in terms of the lot coverage. What you have today is taking it another step closer back to R3. Density remains the same, but it is now a 3-story building as opposed to a 4-story building. Rooftop element to give them a little shelter on the rooftop terrace, but it is in essence a 3-story building, so that is closer to the R3. The lot coverage has been reduced from 50% we saw before down to 43%, so just a tiny bit past the 40% of R3. And the square footage has been reduced by about 3,000 square feet from what had been approved before, so we're now at roughly 20,400 square feet, obviously affecting the floor area ratio as well. They've done a couple of things that have definitely improved the design and functionality of the project. You all have looked down the driveways of the residences to the garage and across the street of Villasiena and seen all the scrape marks at the bottom. It's tough to do that 10-foot drop over the 25-foot front setback. And so what they have done is raise the basement parking level up 2 feet, which also creates a little 2-foot-tall patio outside the first floor of these units. So it's not as steep. With 2 feet of less grade to go down, will be much more usable by the occupants. They have also increased the physical area. They've widened it and lengthened the underground parking, so it's a lot more convenient for folks to get in and out of the spaces, into the visitor spaces at the end. And so that has been definitely a dramatic improvement to the functionality of the project. You also see some very tiny variances or exceptions, but ones that really do improve the exterior look of the project, because the bay windows or the turret elements on the outside, technically per code, they're allowed to bump into the setback, but only if they're 10 feet wide. Well, these are 12 feet wide, so it's really minor. But those bump outs, that articulation, definitely improves the exterior aesthetics of the project. So all in all, it does conform to both the approvals that were granted in 2006-2013, although to a lesser extent than would have been granted in the past, and are consistent with the code. P&Z did recommend approval to you. There are two conditions attached. One had to do with making sure that those patio walls had landscaping around them, so the adjacent neighbors are looking at screened and buffered patio walls. And the other thing is to make sure that we again have screening, visual screening, for the not so charming features of the backflow preventers and the electric transformer boxes. So those two conditions, we just had two neighbors show up at P&Z, and they were more of curiosity of the layout, since they couldn't get all the info on the public notice.
Is there an applicant to make presentation, Jeff? Or
there is.
I don't know if they intend to or not.
Mr. Mayor,
we'll give them whatever for opportunity.
This is a quasi-judicial matter, to the extent there have been any ex parte communications.
I've had none.
None, sir.
None.
None, sir.
I think I may have discussed with staff the conditional use.
Commissioner Cooper, did you want to be recognized?
Yes, I just have a very, very quick question. When we elevate the basement to improve the entry, how does the height compare with the condominiums next door across from the First Congregational, the one that's right next door?
The one right next door to the south,
right,
147, that's 55 feet in height.
Okay, and this one's less
than?
This
one's 35 feet
with the parapet.
And then there's just a little lanai cover on top of the rooftop terrace.
And I think it is important for people to understand that this conditional use was appropriately and timely extended. Mm-hmm. That's important. Thank you.
Does the applicant, or were there questions of staff?
No, sir.
Does the applicant wish to present anything?
Only to answer
your question. Are there questions of the applicant?
I'd just like to move it.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. I'll certainly give you opportunity after public comment if the applicant chooses to speak. There's a motion and a second. Is there a commission discussion?
No, sir.
Hearing none, open the floor for public comment. Citizens wishing to speak to us about this matter are welcome to at this time. Seeing none, I'll close the floor for public comment. Did you already vote? Did the applicant want to have any comments? Quick, read the roll.
Commissioner Leary?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Bradley?
Yes.
Mr. Reichman, if you would read into the record item 11B, an ordinance, please.
Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, this is an ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, vacating and abandoning a portion of Kendall Avenue between Benjamin Avenue and Lewis Drive, within the Robert Dodge Plan Development and Homemaker Subdivision Area. nor particularly described in the ordinance.
Mr. Atwater.
The city received a request from the developer at Ravadage requesting
could you orient us to this?
Yes, I will.
Please, because tell me what north and south is and tell me where we're at.
You know, we've seen that apartment building before in the other diagonal, Troy, are you lying?
Yeah, meaning we've seen it in the north-south way versus the east-west way.
Counterclockwise?
Yeah, you'll have to move it, but that does help us.
Because so we've seen that apartment complex.
North is top? Is that
north is that way.
And south is the opposite of that? And west is to the left, correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So, this is 1792.
Thank you.
This is Lee Road.
Perfect.
This is Lewis. This is Benjamin. And Benjamin was vacated from here to here back before it ever came into the city. This is the ale house and the plaza and the parking lot. The new building under construction right now is here. This is an existing block of Kendall, and the gray stippled area is actually the area of the right-of-way. It's a really wide right-of-way per the plat. Now, a year ago, maybe a little bit longer, Kendall continued all the way to Bennett. This portion of Kendall was vacated, and knowing that this new road called Morgan Lane would be constructed. And so what Dan wants to do now is continue Morgan Lane right here all the way over to what remains of Benjamin. And so this is the Vanson Construction Company. That's their building. And, you know, so none of this vacate is adjacent to them. I mean, it's across the street. I had a conversation with Doug Vanson, and he is fine with this. And then also I got something in writing from him. Basically, Dan had asked the question, and he responded to Dan. Dan gave me a copy of that written correspondence as well. So we feel like this makes sense because this portion has already been vacated, and we feel like that this makes sense to continue Morgan Lane to Benjamin.
And the applicant meets, meaning I guess they own all the property on both sides and everything.
That's correct, yes.
I'd move it as presented for a second.
Second.
Thank
Troy, one quick question just to clarify, and again, here the requirement is that Morgan be constructed and CO'd.
And open.
And open. That's
correct, yes.
Perfect. Do we get the, what right of way, because Morgan is a public street, am I correct?
It will be at some point in time, yes.
So do we,
I think it's a discussion about their CDD. And when the assets of the CDD would come to the city.
At some point in time,
what will the city's right-of-way be in that case? Obviously, Morgan Lane is considered to be a little larger road than Kendall. Kendall looks like it's a one-lane road today. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but it certainly doesn't look like it's...
Well, most likely, you know, that you'd get from that edge of Morgan to that edge of Morgan, which is probably
so that's
60 feet.
Should be done at a different time. Great.
I did wonder.
Cooper, you had a question, and then I'll go to Mr. Reichman.
Actually, my question is for Mr. Reichman. After the last uproar we had about abandoning a road, I just want to make absolutely sure that I understand the appropriate process for abandoning a road and making sure that we've dotted the I's and crossed the T's.
Well, first of all, you have to receive an application from all the property owners that are contiguous. To make sure that, you know, all the people that have a dog in the hunt are, and my understanding is from the presentation you just heard is that the applicant singular. So as a matter of law, what happened is that once the city abandons its easement, title shall flow equally to the property owners on either side of the abandoned right-of-way, which in this case is one single property owner. My understanding from the discussion we just heard is that
there may have been some other interested parties who could be affected by this, and that one interested party has been contacted and been given notice of this proceeding, and has indicated that it has no concerns as far as loss of access or other types of interest that it may have had prior to the vacation of this right of way.
Thank you. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure that
we sent notice to every property owner who was not Sidhan in that area.
Do we need to disclose conversations on this?
This is administrative and executive. This is not quasi-judicial. I did want to point out Mr. McMacken, Commissioner McMacken, asked a question about, you know, what happens with the relation to Morgan Lane and this. The ordinance specifically provides that it shall not become effective until the city receives for recording purposes an easement from the applicant for Morgan. I think your question was...
Yeah, it was more than an easement.
You can't knock it out until the new one's there.
Is that Morgan be constructed prior to...
And that, I think, is an ordinance for abandonment. That was mentioned in the record here.
That's...
It says in the agenda item that the road surface of Kendall will not be removed and the road will not be closed until Morgan Lane is completely constructed and open to traffic. And I'm assuming that is...
Is that in the ordinance?
It's not in the ordinance, it's a part of the agreement.
Do you have a written agreement with the developer? If not, I think it should be in the ordinance.
But we can add it to the ordinance.
Yeah, that's a good
condition for, I mean...
When we did it before, it was part of the condition.
I don't care where it falls.
It just needs to be somewhere.
It needs to be somewhere, but not in the ordinance.
Yeah, the ordinance, put it in the agreement.
Put it in the agreement.
Yeah. I'm not trying to stir up trouble.
It makes good sense. It's perfectly good sense. Because we do have existing businesses on that.
Are there other questions of staff?
No, sir.
Or commission discussion?
No, sir.
I'm going to open the floor for public comment. Citizens wishing to speak to us on this matter are welcome to. Seeing no citizens wishing to do that, once, twice, three times, I'll close the floor for public comment.
Mr. Mayor,
yes, ma'am.
I just want to make sure I understand from Troy how that will be executed. Do you have a developer's agreement on this that you would add it to, or how are you going to do that for us?
Well, my understanding when we did it last time was it was a condition of
the acceptance.
Of the vacation.
Okay, so we can do that in the motion?
Yes.
All right. I would like to amend the motion that a condition for acceptance would be that Morgan is, and I don't know the proper language, but that it is in place, it's appropriately constructed prior to the vacation of Kendall.
I mean, I'm seconding that. I think that's spoken, but if that makes us all happier, I'm happy to second that.
Thank you.
Okay, there'll be an amendment, and then. An amendment that appears to state the obvious, but that's okay. Sometimes we have to say it twice. We'll vote on the amendment first, unless there's further commission discussion, and then we will vote on the ordinance on its first reading. Clerk, read the roll on the amendment that, and I guess that would be Section 5 to the ordinance, that the agreement is conditioned that Morgan will be built before Kendall is vacated. Clerk, read the roll.
Commissioner Leary?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMacken?
Yes.
Mayor Bradley?
Yes. Now on the main ordinance on its first reading as amended. Quick read the roll.
Commissioner Leary?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMacken?
Yes.
Mayor Bradley?
Yes. Thank you. Now a simultaneous public hearing I'd like to conduct on the two ordinances. Request of the City of Winter Park for the property at 2908 Temple Trail. The City Attorney will read both of these into the record, and I'll have a simultaneous public hearing.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. First is an ordinance amending Chapter 58 Land Development Code Comprehensive Plan so as to change future land use designation of single-family residential future land use to open space and recreation on the property at 2908 Temple Trail, more particularly described herein and provided for conflict severability and effective date. Mr. Mayor, that is a legislative decision. The next ordinance is an ordinance amending Chapter 58 Land Development Code in Article 3 Zoning, new official zoning map, so as to change single-family residential or R1A district zoning to parks and recreation or PR district zoning on the property 2908 Temple Trail, in particular described in the ordinance provided for conflict severability and effective date. That ordinance is quasi-judicial, so if there are any ex parte communications as to that rezoning, Mr. Mayor, those should be disclosed.
None, sir.
None.
None. Okay. Jeff, let me just go ahead and move the changing of the future land use designation of single-family residential open space and recreation. Is there a second?
Second.
And I'm going to move the changing of the zoning of the single-family R1A district to Parks and Recreation PR district. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Do you want to, in a sentence, tell those listening at home what this is and why we're doing this, please?
City purchased the property at 2908 Temple Trail to be added to our park inventory, and so we're rezoning it from single-family to park.
Great. Commissioner Sprinkle.
And you notice the people that were here when we first did are not here tonight, but we had great support for this from this community. So I know they're not here because they think we ought to get it, but now it's official.
And I'm assuming Mr. Holland will determine once it is park space what is appropriate. I know there were some questions about whether it's a, and I don't know the property well enough to know whether it should be a canoe entry or not, but that's something that, I know there was some neighborhood concern, but you'll address the appropriate use of this as a park. Is there commission discussion? I'm conducting a simultaneous public hearing. I'm open the floor for both ordinances on our first reading for citizens wishing to speak to us about this matter. Seeing none, I'll close the floor for public comment on the first reading. Quickly read the roll on the ordinance changing the future land use designation of single family residential to open space and recreation.
Commissioner Leary?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Bradley?
Yes. Now, to quickly read the roll on the ordinance changing the zoning on first reading of the single-family R1A district to Parks and Recreation District. Quickly read the roll.
Commissioner Leary?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Bradley?
Yes. That concludes our business at this point. Let me go ahead and take let me take public comments, and then I'll take City Commission reports. And if somebody does show up at 5 and we're still going and wants to make a public comment, I'll keep that section open and let anybody at that time speak. Any citizens wishing to speak to us about matters that are not on our agenda are welcome to.
That was a lot of 327 Beloit. Now that it seems that quiet zones have been settled as of this meeting, that's good news. When can we anticipate hearing something about dedicated funding source for commute?
They go to Tallahassee for that one, Don. Mm-hmm.
Well, I did go this week.
To Tallahassee?
Yeah, what I was told is it's done.
Yeah, it's not there now.
My prediction is it won't happen at the state level until the year. Until the year it's going to revert back to the local governments to fund. Mm-hmm. They're not going to do it 5 years ahead of time because it'll look like a tax increase that they voted for.
Right.
And so it's not going to happen until their backs are against the wall.
Other citizens wishing to make comments to us or questions to the commissioner or staff that are not on the agenda?
I'm Pastor David Mark Sutton. I'm founder and chairman of God's Homeless Source International, 1876 Parker Drive. I represent the homeless in this area. I work with them here in the city, been a long-time resident, and just asking what we can do to help the homeless and the ones that are struggling in this area.
Great. Thank you for the question. I don't know that we're prepared to answer that at this point, but obviously there's a lot of work that's done.
And there actually
the
is
staff and groups that address that issue in our city.
And there is a bill in Tallahassee right now. That's where you need to be lobbying. They were able to get $4 million set aside last year, and they're working to get a permanent dedicated funding source now. So that's the committee meeting you need to be standing in front of. Thank you.
I know Orange County, along with other interested parties, are making a major commitment to supportive housing in our area. So that's obviously valuable too. Are there other questions of the city or on agenda items that are not before us? Great. I'll close the public comment or at least reopen it if we don't get done before 5. Commissioner Leary?
None, sir.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Well, I was thrilled to see that we have a garden week that's going to be happening in the Thayer City of Winter Park. I just got that notice, and I guess we're going to be able to tour some beautiful gardens, so great. Congratulations. I think that's fabulous. I also wanted to mention that, you know, we have our very own Representative Mike Miller from right here in Winter Park, who's in Tallahassee, so that's great news for us. And we got a new president over at Rollins last weekend. That was fabulous. So we got lots of great things going on. The only other thing that I want us to continue to think about is, and I heard it today when we were hearing from the bicycle board, I still want some mechanism in place where we can hear from all of our boards and acknowledge their great work, and at the same time make sure they know that we appreciate what they've done. I don't know what that is. I want staff to come up with something, but our boards are very integral to what we do, so I'd love to have something in place.
Here, here.
If we have three.
I'm sorry. The request specifically is to do it.
Is to ask staff to come up with a mechanism by which our boards could, in fact, make presentations to us, and we could thank them for what they've done. Today we had a presentation by the board, but nobody could come to this meeting because they're all working. So maybe we need to, you know, figure out a different mechanism by which we can support what great work our boards have done.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great idea, and I certainly would support that. I mean, we've heard recently from the Environmental Sustainability Keeper of our beautiful board. We end up hearing from Parks and Rec probably once a month in one way, shape, or form or another on topics. But, you know, I think the visioning process, I would hope, would also give the opportunity for the boards to weigh in, too. So,
yes.
You have my nod. I don't know what you need
for
that.
I like the idea of an annual review from the boards. I think that's a great idea.
Are you talking that into a party too for them to celebratory?
Well, that's what I was just going to say is, you know, we had the board recognition, and I think, I don't remember the dollar value that we had associated with that in the past, but that's kind of gone away, and I know we tried to bring it back, but those were lean times. Mm-hmm. But I think now we're to a point where maybe we can start to recognize them. I, for one, would be happy to have, if that has to be agended, to say that not only do we hear from them annually, but we celebrate them annually.
Yes.
I think there's numerous ways to do that. So see what certainly was welcome that.
And then are you going to mention both Tallahassee trip and the St. Patrick's Day parade?
I can.
All right.
St. Patrick's Day parade is this coming Sunday.
No, sir. It's the 8th of
the
March.
The following.
So. Oh, first one in March, right. Okay. I'm off. I'm so
just
excited.
Feel like you've gone
I'm so excited about spring training coming up for baseball. It's jumping to March already.
But for baseball fans, it's all about spring training.
But Clarissa sent each of you an email about if you want to participate, who to contact on that. I was contacted by
Rioting. From here on out, I'm rioting. I just like to make that announcement.
Well, the city does not officially.
Right, I got it. Got it covered.
So,
I'm coming. I just didn't know. I know you're walking with thousands there on the end, so I don't even go that route. But the rest of us who are,
okay.
Yeah, I'm going to be there.
Did you yield the floor to Mr. Knight?
I did.
What was the other item?
Tallahassee.
She asked about a trip to Tallahassee. I received two dates from John Wayne Smith that I will circulate tonight. But it's the Tuesday and Wednesday, the second week of March, which of course includes Election Day, and then it's also, or the following 16th and 17th, I believe it is, of March, which I believe is the same time that League of Cities is up there.
It is.
Which in my past experience is not the best time to go up there because, you know.
It'll be like a zoo.
It is a zoo. So I'm open to if either of those work for y'all. I know that's we have conflicts on both of those.
I think we do. I want to be here for the election personally, and I will be there on the 17th already with the league, and I don't think that's a good time to get anybody's attention.
I'll ask him for a third option.
Okay. That's more of a parade through the halls.
I think Emily's home on spring break that week, and I'm going to try to.
You want to stay home?
I'd like to stay close to home.
Let's see if we can get a third option.
My schedule.
I just wanted to.
I think that probably we'll only get five to go, so Mr. Knight, if you could circulate potential dates and whatever
okay.
most of the commissioners work on, I'd say that would probably be the best way to go. And if it's but two and you, I think that's still valuable for Winter Park to be represented in Tallahassee.
But we definitely want to go. It's just it'd be nice if we could get a third option.
Yes. Those are not good options. And plus, they've just opened.
Yeah, but obviously,
they just opened March 3rd.
Going in April is not.
It's too late.
It's too late. So.
It's too late now. But
So maybe next year we should go. And by the way, it will be an early session, January to
March next
year.
So it's probably better to go up in the fall for one of the committee weeks, probably. Commissioner Sprinkle?
I'm done.
Commissioner Cooper?
I just wanted to see what we were planning on doing about the election next year. I didn't want to wait to the last minute to decide if we're going to do our election in March or if we're going to do it earlier.
I believe we changed the charter to say we would piggyback the presidential
primary
if it happens in that year. So,
I know they've set the date for the presidential primary, and it's real close to our March election date for the city, maybe within a week. I can't remember the exact date.
So it's not like it's in
January.
Sometime within.
Okay. So we'll be voting with the presidential primary in March.
Yes. That obviously saves our city between $30,000 and
$40,000.
So it's pretty wise to do that.
Yeah.
Yes. Mr. Goodby, you still have the floor.
I think the board appreciation is important, and I'm glad you brought that up, Sarah, because I honestly, it has slipped my mind. And the other item that I think we need to look at is the circulator bus for Winter Park. You know, we talked about that during our budget times in the past, and I think that number was like $150,000 a year, and I don't know if we can get some sharing on that, maybe from the village, maybe from the hospital, maybe from the Mayflower or the Towers. I'd just like to start that conversation if we could, because I do think that would be very helpful to us to get people from the commuter rail to other areas of our city. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Commissioner McMackin?
Nothing this evening, sir. Thank you.
I have two items. One is a request. As I conclude my mayoral terms, I have really four individuals, but three individuals that I think would be appropriate for our city to recognize in an appropriate way. And I realize two are still alive, but that's a difficult thing to do. But I would like to have three nods to request a review at our our Parks and Recreation Commission, a potential pocket parker naming for former Mayor and Representative Alan Trevelyan, a potential park or park naming for Mayor Terranova, former mayor, and as well as have the public or Parks and Recreation Board look at the naming of the meadow instead of the West Meadow, the Strong Meadow, in honor of both David and Hope Strong. I don't know if there's three to acknowledge that, but I would like to ask our Parks Board to review those, and I think in all three cases they're very, very appropriate. And I realize that in one case we don't make an adjustment until people pass, but I think in two cases I think it's appropriate, and frankly sometimes people should get their flowers before they die. So that's my recommendation. So thank you. The Parks Recreation, I saw three to go to do that. So that obviously we have to come back to this board for approval.
Can I make a little tack on to the next? And that would be Pastor Dawkins from the West Side. He served as the police chaplain for about 25 years. He also was the head of the West Side Ministerial Alliance. And we lost him last year. And I know that church has been working.
I'd be honored. I mean, he was not a citizen of our city, but certainly having him be recognized somehow, maybe at an appropriate park or whatever, I think that would certainly be. So I'm sorry, you know.
That'd be wonderful.
You didn't nod to the first one, but three nodded.
Well, I was just hesitating because we have always held that honor for people who have served the community but are no longer with us, and whether that
also
makes
live here.
And what makes sense or not? Yeah, that's true.
But whether that
makes sense or not, I don't know. But that was my hesitation. It wasn't that I think every one of those people should be acknowledged. And quite frankly, I was contacted by the editor of one of the local publications, yes, asking me about Gus Henderson, because this is an important month, right? And I would like to add him to that list for consideration.
Okay, so...
So I can't speak to that one, but I spoke about three, and there were three that acknowledged that, so the board can certainly address that. So
I actually think that what I asked after I got that same note was, do we have a process in place? Here's Sarah with her process question again. A process in place by which we name things after people. And my understanding was no. So
We have a very, very large process.
Not for certain things we do, but not for everything, because I asked this question. Correct, Randy?
John, you might need to come to the...
Mr. Knight, the question is appropriate to go to Mr. Knight, and Mr. Knight can address that. And obviously, mine was not meant to debate or discuss the merits of this at this point. Mine was meant to ask our Parks Board to review those types of things, so in terms of park namings. And yes, there is a process. City staff can make that available to us, and certainly would be available to the Parks Board.
I just want to all have the same information. That's all.
Yeah. The other item is I had the privilege, along with Vice Mayor Leary, of throwing out the first pitch on Saturday to 630 youth who are in our Babe Ruth baseball and softball leagues. I quickly did the math. 630 youth. Let's hope they each have two parents. That's another 1,260 people. More than likely, they have a couple of grandparents in this area that will come a little bit of the time. You know, that doesn't include the coaches, the staff, our city staff that make that all possible. This is thousands of people that, I did say this, Michael, the Sentinel's going to feature people that are evil on the streets today and crime. Nobody's going to feature on the front page the youth leaders and all that go and do that. But it's very, very worthy, and nothing tugs at your heartstring by seeing, especially the little ones come out in their uniforms with the youthful enthusiasm, Mr. Knight, of spring training and spring of what baseball means to all of us. So it's a very worthy thing, and I was honored to be there. And I did not bounce the ball, so I'm with that, it's 5:03. Is there anybody else who'd like to speak to us? Because I read in the fourth at 5 o'clock. Okay, closing. Yes, sir, did you want to speak to the commission about items that are not on the agenda? Okay, you're welcome to have the floor since it was 5 o'clock and we went early, so. These are items that are not on our agenda at this point.
Right, this is just just I'd like to speak with you about.
If you'd identify yourself, please, for the record.
I'm Barry Carson. I'd like to come to you as a resident.
And your address is, sir?
601 Callahan.
And the clerk will ask you to fill out a yellow form when you're done. But go ahead, sir.
Okay, I also work for the city of the park, and I'm not going to treat it really good, but I got to go down here and, do some work maybe this Saturday, and I'm okay with that, but down here in Pennsylvania Avenue, I would like to ask for permission. I don't know how it goes, that I can, have some kind of adoption program, and I'd like to adopt a part of that street, to just keep up on my own, I see it need to be done. And I'm getting taken care of real good from the city of Winter Park. I have no problems. But if, you kind of add on to, talking about naming a park, and all those different things, that's what kind of made me set up and ask for permission.
That's a wonderful request. I would really defer that to staff, because I know as an employer that when staff volunteer to work in their own place, there are laws that govern that. So that would be something that really Mr. Knight or Mr. Holland or others could address, but it's a very worthy request, and we thank you for that. So,
okay.
So if Mr. Knight, if you could speak to a staff member or whoever is appropriate afterwards, that would be great.
Okay,
so thank you for that. It's a great suggestion.
Yes, sir.
Or that all of us adopted a piece of our road. So thank you. Is there anyone else? We sit adjourned.
Thanks, sir.